And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Hello and welcome to Front and Nationwide. This is The Athletic's dedicated Blue Jackets podcast. Aaron Ports, I'm with you on a Thursday morning. Allison Lukian is here.
Hello.
Allison, this is a strange stretch of the summer. Now, usually this is draft weekend.
Correct. Crazy, isn't it?
Yes. Usually it's cranking up to free agency week from now. And so what is where we're at right now on the calendar is kind of where we usually are in, like, say, middle of May.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, it's kind of the crazy season where you're hearing a lot of stuff, and a lot of it's interesting and some of it's true. And the Blue Jackets have been linked to trade talks with the Buffalo Sabres involving Jack Eichel. Now, Okay. Background on Eichel, unbelievably talented player.
No question.
Purely a number one center, probably one of the top 3 to 5 centers in the league. Is that fair?
I think so, yes.
He is disgruntled with this Buffalo Sabres. He's been there 6 seasons. They've yet to have a .500 record, yet to make the playoffs. And adding literally injury to insult, if you will, he has a neck injury, suffered in mid-March, did not play the rest of the season. He has a herniated disc in his neck, which doesn't sound like a lot of fun.
No.
And I'm just giving you everybody the picture of why Jack Eichel's available and what it looks like. He wants to have surgery that the Buffalo Sabres doctors say no NHL player has had before. I've tried to track down a surgeon this week to see who does these surgeries, to see what he would recommend for people after them. No luck on that front, but it's a mildly risky surgery. The Sabres want him to rest and rehab. And so they're at a loggerheads now, which is a great word, but not a good place to be.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a mess. And you think Columbus is and has had a rough season. My God, the situation in Buffalo is just toxic. Doesn't begin to describe it.
Mm-hmm.
So Jack Eichel is available. Sabres are willing to trade him. I don't think he's technically requested a trade yet, but he's all but said he's done playing in Buffalo. I poked around on this. There are reports that the Blue Jackets are deep in trade talks with the Sabres. There's speculation that they would be. Of course they would be. The Blue Jackets need a centerman, always. But I don't think there's a ton of, I think there's smoke there, but I don't think there's any fire. Tell me what you think of, what should the Blue Jackets' interest be in Jack Eichel? And what are you feeling about this move? I don't think it's going to happen. Things may have to change for it to happen. Where are you at on this, given all of the things that we know about the situation?
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, first and foremost, and I hate to, we saw what happened when poor Elvis referenced Buffalo in post-game comments. I hate to kick a team when they're down, but, you know, when we talk about the potential for a rebuild, it's not just about stripping it down, it's knowing how you're going to build it back up. And right. Buffalo is a cautionary tale there. So I think it's, Blue Jackets fans are upset right now, but... This is exactly where you do not want to be, is a Buffalo situation. You know, again, like you said, Eichel is a tremendous player, under contract through the 25-26 season, but at a $10 million a year price tag. Right. So that's significant. Look, does he make any team better? Yes. But is he enough to make the Blue Jackets what they need to be? At this moment, probably not. And, you know, as we've talked about, what is the value of making incremental moves versus saying, nope, we're going to really strip this down and build this the right way for the long haul. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I worry about, and this is not to decrease Eichel's value. It's to talk about what the rest of the roster looks like right now. Eichel probably isn't enough to make this team right. quote unquote good. And, you know, I am not a doctor. But, you know, the next situation is concerning. It's certainly something that it seems a normal human can deal with, but right. but not an elite athlete. And that's the concern here. And the other concern now is that just like Max Domi, because the team has asked him to wait and rehab and recover, now if he gets surgery, that's cutting into the season. So even if you get this player, when do you truly get this player at full productivity on the ice?
Yeah. And this is getting messy as these things tend to do, but like, I think there is a market for him in the current state. There is. I think,
no question. No question. Of course.
I think Buffalo's asking too much.
Sure.
For him. As one exec said this week, the return they're asking for ignores the neck injury, the return they're hoping to get ignores the neck injury. In other words, like, there's no way you can give all that up for a player who's going into neck surgery. What, you know, the rub here, though, is teams may want to say, have the neck surgery and we'll see you on the other side. And even if you have to rehab, as long as we know you've had the next surgery and it's gone well, we'll feel a lot more comfortable than we do right now. This is the problem. Buffalo's and the team doctors don't want him to have the surgery. They want him to rest and rehab. And so the timeline, as you mentioned, is getting pushed here. And it may end up in a hearing between the Sabres and the NHLPA, the Players Association, in front of an arbiter to tell him who's right here and if he can proceed with the surgery. So, teams that may want to see what he looks like on the other side of surgery, that may not be possible or at least quick. I thought you brought up a good point with this too. Like, the Blue Jackets, without using the word, appear to be heading into a rebuild of their own. One they hope won't take too god-awful long.
Won't be a Buffalo version.
Exactly, which has gone nowhere. Or a Detroit version, which seems to be taking a while to see some progress. And Jack Eichel's 24, so it's not like he's a 30-year-old left winger.
Right.
But for me, the what you'd have to cash in for Eichel is almost the more damaging part than taking on a player that's 6 years into his career with a ton of tread off of his tires.
Right.
And this injury, which is part of it. So the Sabres want a centerman back. Well, you know, Columbus doesn't have those things, Allison.
Right.
They don't have one of those.
I mean, they have people who play there. That is true. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
But, you know, you're not plucking a number one young center off the Blue Jackets roster.
That's right.
So now you got to get creative. The Blue Jackets, I'm sure, would say, does a Patrick Laine interest you?
Mm-hmm.
And the Sabres appear to not be overwhelmed with that. So at minimum, so this thing starts with the first round draft pick, number 5 overall next month.
Yes.
It almost certainly includes a goaltender, probably Merzlikins, who the Sabres are interested in have shown interest in the past. You think of young players on the Blue Jackets roster that appear to be NHL players in the future, or currently, but they're in the early part of their NHL career. Texier, Peak. It's got to take one of those guys for sure. And then you're probably looking at some of their one or more of their prospects.
Right.
So you're adding a player who, if healthy, is maybe the most talented player you've ever had on the team when healthy.
Right.
But you've added that piece, which is a big, big piece. But God, look what you've cost yourself in terms of depth of prospects and just having, because you'd have to think, this is my thought, the number 5 guy is going to be an NHL regular, if not this year, next.
Right.
Merzlikins is an NHL regular. Texier and or Peak are NHL regulars. And the Russian kids are coming. Shinnokov is going to be here this year in North America, if not the NHL. Voronkov comes the next year, unless anything changes. Marchenko comes the year after. So you've got a flow of prospects coming. That's just, man, that is upsetting the apple cart for me. But I know you can't acquire a guy like Eichel without doing that. Thoughts?
Right. Well, you can't, but you know, again, this is the point of what the Blue Jackets in theory would be doing, is that the way, and this is what Buffalo did. They tanked, I'm just going to say it, to get a shot to get either McDavid or Eichel. Right. And so, you know, and this is what's being soft pedaled, and let's just talk about it, is that the Blue Jackets hope to get their own Eichel.
Yes.
Maybe next year or the year following. Right. And so this becomes a time management issue, you know, and that's where we talk about Eichel's under contract through 25-26. But at that point, he's going to be whatever. He's not going to be young any quote unquote yep. anymore. So is he still, and this is with full reverence to the player, is he still Jack Eichel by the time the studs in theory that the Blue Jackets get over the next 2 years are ready to play? And so that's where it's throwing good money after bad. Where is your window? Really, realistically, where is the window when this team hopes to be competitive again? And can they realistically do it with what they have in place? And if it means that the window is based on assets they get over the next 2 years, there's no sense in making this move right now.
Yeah.
Because as talented as the player is, there has to be a plan and everything has to work in support of the plan.
Yeah.
It's like when they say, you know, when you're selling a house, like you have to know what your offer, what you need, because something shiny comes by and you go, ooh, fancy. Yeah. Okay. I'll do that instead. You have to stick to the plan. Yeah, exactly.
Right. And it's such a great point. And it's going to be this during this process for them. And John Davidson he's alluded to it a couple of times. Stay the course, stay the course, stay the course.
Right.
And I think back, I don't want to mention the first general manager of the Blue Jackets, Doug McLean, too often on this podcast, but I think back to the first year. I think this is just such a great example of this. The Blue Jackets are that first year in the NHL, 2000, 2001, they're a plucky, they are a team. Now they're not Vegas. I think we almost need a different word for bringing a team and a city into the league than expansion, because saying that Columbus and Vegas were both expansion teams, while accurate, it's just a totally different world
100%.
Now versus then. But anyways, Columbus had this really energetic, together, passionate team that this city loved maybe as much as any team they've ever had. Mm-hmm. They were overachievers, and there's nothing greater in sports than when teams do that. And at the trade deadline that first year, Doug McLean is offered Ray Whitney for Kevin Adams. Now, it's funny we're talking about Kevin Adams as the general manager of the Sabres, and here he is again. That's the trade you could never make in your video game because the players would be too imbalanced. Right? That's the trade that when somebody in your fantasy league calls you and you're like, is this guy drunk or crazy? Yes, I'll do that. It's so hard to say no to that.
Yeah.
But you have to say no to that.
That's right.
As dumb as it sounds, especially the way Whitney turned out in Columbus. So, and my point is they add Whitney and now they're better. They are better.
Sure.
And they're better the next year, even though the points didn't show it, but they're better than they should have been the next year. And they were better the year after that than they should have been at that point in their birth, in their growth. And so you can't be 1 foot in and 1 foot out. So it doesn't mean you have to intentionally suck. It just means to say, okay, we're going to do this the right way. We're going to rebuild. And then 2 weeks later be like, we'll trade six pieces for a 24-year-old with a neck injury. Right. It's like, whoa, what are you doing? That didn't last long.
Right.
And I think one of the challenges to doing this is you're going to be met with these offers, especially in a cap world where you've got cap space and people want to unload their problems on you. And I think you've got to really have a cool head and realize you may win that deal, but you may be losing in the long term.
That's right.
You may be losing sight of where you're trying to go here.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be tough. And you know what the problem is for people who want to be on the optimistic side, they're going to say, well, you know, Artemi Panarin came in and the team had some of their best hockey ever. Well, that's true. But again, that was a different roster. And this is where that talent valuation is going to be critical. Yeah. Because if you miss who's good enough when, again, to your point, are you Buffalo or Detroit? And that's no fun either.
Right. And here's the last point on Eichel that I'll acknowledge is it's unfair to assert. And so I want to be careful that I'm not asserting it. I'm asking it because I do think it's valid. Mm-hmm. So he's been there 6 years.
Yes.
And they have had at times, you look around that team and you think, how is this team so god awful?
Yes.
Like, I'm not saying that they're Tampa by any stretch of the imagination, but I mean, so from the start of his time in Buffalo to this season, they have finished 23rd, 26th, 26th, 31st, 27th, 25th, and 31st.
Mm-hmm.
And they have at times, Sam Reinhart's a good player. Kyle Okposo's a nice player. Mm-hmm. Ryan O'Reilly's a nice player. Rasmus Dahlin is a nice player. They've had some players there. The best players in this league elevate. Now, I'm not saying they can do it all by themselves. They can't.
Right.
They can't. But Eichel needs to be, if you're giving all of this up and paying $10 million a year, he needs to be your best player, your offensive centerpiece, and he needs to be a guy that lifts everything around him.
Yes.
Again, not all the way to the top, but he has to make everybody better.
Yes,
and I don't know that we've seen that. And the ugliness in Buffalo, it's easy to say they've had such turnover at the top. They've had different coach after different coach. How much of this does he wear? How much of this do the players wear? And how worrying should that be?
Yeah, I mean, and this is his draft cousin. This is the same debate about McDavid, right? I mean,
they made the playoffs, but yeah,
they did. But again, like, McDavid is viewed as a generational player. McDavid is, and with all respect, he's viewed as better than Eichel. And I would agree. But McDavid isn't out there in Edmonton winning cup after cup after cup after cup. No. And, you know, even, you know, Sidney Crosby and Evgeny Malkin can't overcome bad goaltending in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
So, you know, Patrick Laine can't score goals on the power play in Columbus if they can't get him the puck. Right. So these are all situations. Listen, I think the criticism is fair. I would also point to, I think, to your examples, the organization has not always helped him. You know, they tell him he's a leader when he's however many years old. Just because you're the best player doesn't mean you have to be a quote unquote leader on a team. Has he always been the best he can be? I can't answer that because I don't watch him night in and night out. But has he been given the support that, no, I don't care who you are, any elite player needs to be elite? I say no. So I think the point is valid. The question is valid. It's the same thing we saw in Columbus this year. If your pieces don't fit together, it doesn't matter how good or bad they are. It's not going to work.
Yeah.
And I think he's a tremendous player. I don't think we've seen his best because he hasn't been on a roster that suits him. And to your point, he should be a centerpiece. Can he be better? Everyone could be better. But I don't think the organization has given him the perfect spot. And again, no one in hockey, more than most sports, no one player is going to save your franchise. It just doesn't happen.
Yeah, I you know, 3 or 4 years ago in Colorado, the Avs had a hard talk with Nathan MacKinnon.
Mm-hmm.
Like obviously an incredible player, but it reached a point where it was like you're really good, obviously, but you got to be up here.
Yes,
like, heavy is the head that wears the crown.
Yes,
you got to be up here, and he has. They haven't won a cup either. I don't think it's all about winning a cup, but McDavid's making the playoffs. You mentioned Crosby and Malkin. They're in the playoffs. If the Sabres had made the playoffs and gotten bounced or finished just outside the playoffs, then that's one thing. But to just be the dregs of the league, even in years where you go, that's not an awful roster.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's... I don't think people are wrong to think that sets off a little bit of alarms about just what are we getting?
Fair. 100%. Totally fair.
What are we getting? And does he elevate the room, or do we have to build the room up around this guy, even though he's $10 million and he's the big piece here? Because that can be an awkward fit.
100%.
Looking for an assist with your credit card, but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
So we've talked about the process and how difficult it's going to be to sort of remain patient and keep your eye on the prize and realize where this is going, not grabbing the shiny thing. I think this is an interesting question too, and you'd be good on this, Allison. How the team hasn't said rebuilding.
Right. In
fact, there's been like
18 different words.
50 words with the prefix re used to describe what's coming. And I get it. It's dicey. Like, you don't want to nobody wants to say, oh yeah, we're tanking. Oh, we're going to be awful the next couple of years. So you present it in different ways, but what is the best way to present a rebuild to this, specifically this marketplace, the Columbus Blue Jackets? How can they sell it to people that is fair, that tells people really what's coming, and also doesn't just gut the arena of fans?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's a great question. And we've talked about, even before John Davidson went to the Rangers, there was a big to-do when the Rangers did just that. They basically put out a message and said, we're rebuilding. I mean, literally. and, you know, this is a little Tortorellian, but I'm always a fan of honesty. And, you know, I think it is my opinion, I haven't polled the fan base, but it is my opinion that part of what made this past season so rough wasn't just the win and loss record. It was hard to see the give a damn from this group. And I think that, you know, a message like that, you know, even if we go back to when JD first came to Columbus, there was that. There was a, we're gonna give our very best effort, and we're building towards something. And our goal is to find a way to acquire elite talent that can hold us at a top level for some time. And that's going to take us some time, but stick with us. And we're going to give our very best out on the ice night in and night out.
Yeah.
You know, I hate to use this word because it's been bandied about with this organization, but there can be loyalty through tough times if there's honesty and if there's intention and if there's emotion, meaning we care about what we're doing and we care about you. And I think expressing that can go a long way. I mean, even, you know, you look at, again, we talk about this team now quite a bit on this show, but the crew were not in their most successful stretch of soccer when the Save the Crew movement happened.
Right.
But there was a loyalty to the fan base. There was a loyalty from the fan base to the team that basically kept the team here and got them a new stadium all at the same time. Yeah. So
got the name back too.
Yeah, partially, but yes. And, you know, I think that owning what you're going to do goes a long way. Honesty with intention, with evidence that there's a plan, I think that helps. And with evidence that people care, again, for the fans to the team, for the team to the fans, and that when the team goes out, they're going to do their very best. And I think from a ongoing communications perspective, you know, things I'd be talking about is let's talk about what development looks like. Let's show you what these players are doing, and not a, hey, look, they're amazing, but Zach Werenski is a great example to me. There was a year where all we talked about was we really want him to be stronger defensively, and here's why.
Yeah.
And this is what it brings him, and this is what it brings our team. Those kind of messages, and again, showing the intention of the franchise, showing the plan, and showing the progress being on track with the plan, I think that can go a long way.
Yeah, and I think, I was thinking about this the other day too. I don't think this approach would have been taken if John Davidson doesn't come back to the Blue Jackets.
100% agree.
I think that for two reasons. I think Yarmo was fully mentally invested in making this team as good as they could be next season.
Mm-hmm.
And I think John Davidson comes from the outside looking in and is like, whoa, whoa, whoa. But I also think John Davidson being here allows them to sell it to people, and I'm not sure they could sell it to people before.
Agree.
But I think so. I've talked to, and this may turn into a Sunday gathering lead here soon.
Mm.
What is the crew's impact on the Blue Jackets?
Mm-hmm.
The crew's new stadium impact on the Blue Jackets. Are people going to say, you know, I'm doing one or the other, and right now, the crew are hot. The stadium's awesome. sorry, Blue Jackets, I'll be back when you're ready to win.
Right.
And I'll be honest with you, I've spoken to two people and neither of them think that that's going to be the case. And the reason, and then, and I should specify, that's only for this coming season. And both of them said that people are, first of all, so many people have money with the Blue Jackets for tickets as it is. And I don't know what the ramifications are. Could they be compelled to get that money back from the club? Probably. But if it's already there, you're less likely to do that. But their point was, these people went most of a year without seeing the Blue Jackets play with the crowded house. They just can't wait to get back again. Mm-hmm. And worry about what it looks like on the ice after the fact.
Mm-hmm.
They don't think attendance this coming season will suffer that much because there's still going to be the sort of we're back dynamic that that propels people to come to the game. So we'll see if that plays out. But I think, and I think I mentioned it on a previous podcast, I think the team did Brad Larsen a bit of a disservice. I think there still would have been critics about his hiring if they'd spoken clearly about what their short-term outlook looked like. I think there still would have been critics because people have you know, looked at the power play and said, this guy can't possibly be our next coach. But I think it would have been muted a bit if you say, okay, we're in a development stage. We're building, we're teaching young players to play hockey. This is an energetic first-time NHL coach, perfect for this situation. I think more people, and in fact, I've seen more people who have listened to Brad Larsen and now come to terms with what's coming say, oh, okay, all right, I can live with this.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you show them, whoever you pick number five this year, and it's a bright player, if Shinnikov comes over and he looks like he can, he's a bright player. Allison, they need some of these young players to pop.
Mm-hmm.
Texier, I mean, Texier's got to start delivering. We could say that about some other guys too.
Yep.
I think as long, to your point earlier, as long as people see energy, passion, and caring, and some of these guys have talent that you go, oh boy, he's going to be that guy. He's going to be something.
Yep.
I think people are okay with this as long as they feel like there is a plan.
Yep.
That is laid out. And if you hit the jackpot with the player next year and bring in an elite player, I think people go crazy for that. Let's go. Let's grow. I'll grow with you. Let's go.
Yep.
I want to see this kid play every freaking time he's in Nationwide Arena.
Yep.
And they need to draft that kid and keep that kid. But I think people can live with this if it's articulated to them.
A 1,000,000%. Absolutely. And, you know, there's even when Edmonton wasn't good. I mean, I remember we would see Edmonton come to Nationwide and people would come to Columbus to the arena just to see McDavid.
100%.
Right. So you're spot on there. And again, like I was saying, if they can say, here's what's happening, here's where we're going, we're on track, and look, we know what we're doing, because does a player pop all at once, or is it five steps forward every year, but he's on track to get to 10 steps when we need him to be at 10 steps?
Right.
1,000,000%. This is why, again, you know, even before Torts was in Columbus, I agree with his approach. Honesty is the best policy. What's going on? And as long as you can back up what you say is going on with action, you're going to be fine. I think it's going to be interesting because, you know, I do know season ticket holders and they have tickets for next year because, as you said, the money rolled over.
Yeah.
But holding and owning tickets doesn't mean those people keep showing up for games.
Very true.
And that's going to be interesting. And I do think that if it comes to it, you know, this organization, you know, and this goes to something we've talked about too, the in-arena experience. The focus should be on the game. The focus should be on the players 1,000,000%. But do you enjoy being at the arena? You know, I hate baseball, but I'll go to a game at Huntington Park because it's a great park and it's fun to be there.
Well, yeah.
The Crew Stadium has all local eateries. They've got all this fun stuff they're pitching. So can you make the game experience enjoyable as well when maybe the hockey doesn't see you through? These are all things that this organization has to think about while, as we keep saying, they stay on track with the plan they have to get good when they're ready to really be good.
Yeah. Well, they've got a lot of work to do.
They do. They do.
Okay. Allison, one bit of news, the Blue Jackets. And this one tripped me up a bit. We announced this yesterday that the Blue Jackets have hired John Tortora.
Mm.
I mean, really, what are the chances? as Senior Vice President and Chief Legal Officer. And so he replaces Greg Kirstein, an original Blue Jackets employee who was Chief Legal Counsel, who retired after this season.
Mm-hmm.
John Tortora, T-O-R-T-O-R-A. And I read this and I thought, did they mean to send this? Is this like,
right?
It's like an onion. Is John Tortorella coming back like dressed in a disguise,
right,
as the senior vice president? But Tortora has spent 25 years in professional hockey, 11 with the San Jose Sharks, 14 before that with the NHL office. So a noteworthy hire at the top of the near the top of the organization, their VP. Anything else to add, Allison?
I don't think so.
All right. Well, thanks for your time. Good conversation as always.
Indeed. And you know, have you made a decision on the Avett Brothers concert, Aaron?
Well, yeah, I can't go. They're picking the next great Blue Jacket that night. No. I mean, you know, come on. Duty calls. I'll see them in Mexico with camp. So I'm not going to complain. But yeah, there's no way I'm going. There's no way.
I'm proud of you. That's good. Very proud of you.
Dedication.
Big sacrifice. Good job.
It is. Well, thanks. And folks, we'll talk to you next week. Thanks for listening. As always, have a great week.